Welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall, special edition today. It is Monday, so typically we come out Fridays, as you know, but a lot going on in the markets. The third biggest down day on the open for the S&P 500. And people are freaking out. It was mass hysteria last night on Twitter. I thought it was very important to get in front of you, so we're doing a quick update. We're going to cover everything that's going on with oil, the coronavirus, stocks, you name it, coming up right now on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
All right, Matt McCall here. As I mentioned, this is a special edition right now we're doing with Moneyline. It's a crazy day. It's about 12:35 here, Monday afternoon, East Coast time. And the Dow was down well over 2,000 points at one point. 5 minutes into the trading day, they halted the market because when the S&P 500 falls by 7%, they stop all trading for 15 minutes, let people gather themselves, take a deep breath. It keeps against anything like the flash crash and stuff like that. It's just called a trigger. And the market triggered that, closed for 15 minutes. After that, we sold off a little more. We tried to rally late afternoon. Right now, the Dow down about 1,550 points. Again, way off the lows. The low 23,818 on the S&P. We're at 24,300 now, so about 500 points or so off the lows. So we are bouncing back a little bit. But let me talk to you about how we got here and calming you down, because the mass hysteria that I'm seeing right now, I've never seen anything like it in social media last night. I was trying to get to bed early, and of course, I waited to see if the futures open. The futures opened terrible. And just looking at the comments, I mean, you would think, honestly, the world was ending. You would think that zombies took over. I mean, it was so insane to me. So needless to say, it's a long night, so if there's bags under my eyes, please let me go. So let's start with the news last night. I'm going to skip to coronavirus in a minute, but it's about last night. Oil fell below $30 a barrel last night, down at $29.50, got absolutely crushed. And to give you a little backstory on that is, so what happened was last week, you know, obviously the demand for oil was dropping a bit because of coronavirus, slowing down the global economy a little. The OPEC got together, they wanted to cut their production, which keeps prices okay. Russia said, hell no, we're not doing that. Saudi Arabia said, okay, then we're not either. So long story short, demand has really been declining. At the same time, they're ramping up production. So supply and demand, it's simple economics. That's economics 101, folks. If supply is increasing, demand's dropping, prices have to come down to meet that. Was there a bit of an overreaction here? Yes, falling up below $30 a barrel, probably a big overreaction. Looking at where we are right now, I'll pull up a quote here in a minute to show you where we're at with oil today. But there's a lot of ramifications. And what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna do something I used to do back in the day. And I'm gonna go through these headlines. And I'll tell you what the headlines say, because that's what you're seeing, that's what you're going to hear the rest of the day, probably tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you what I call WIMFY, W-I-M-F-Y, what it means for you. Who the hell cares what the media tells you, but I'm going to tell you what this means for you. So what oil falling this low means for you is, if you have own any oil and gas companies, they're getting hit, obviously. That's pretty self-explanatory. We're also seeing them throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, some of these big names were down 40 to 50% this morning. I mean, getting absolutely crushed as if there would never be demand for oil ever again. Well, let me take a look at a silver lining for this. And I'm not going to put a silver lining on everything here, but there's a silver lining to this. The silver lining here is that eventually gas prices are going to fall. Petroleum prices all around the board are going to fall. And what that means is, if you're a buyer or a user of petroleum, that means you're paying less. So less to pay to heat your home or cool your home, less to pay to put gas into your vehicles. That's great for the consumer. It may save you a couple bucks here and there. But the big picture here is, think about the manufacturing here in this country, even though it's dropped a bit. Manufacturing in this country still relies heavily on petroleum as an input. And if your expenses drop, that means your bottom line increases. Think about the plastics industry. How much of their expenses are driven by the price of petroleum-based products? So as this drops, it actually could be spun that it is good for the economy long term. Granted, you'll say, well, Matt, the shale companies will get hit. Yes, again, I'm going to be straight with you. If you own an oil and gas company, especially in the U.S., with oil down around the low 30s, that's not good. That's not good for them because it's costing them a little bit more to get out of the ground, depending on which company we're talking about. So keep that in mind, though, that there is a silver lining. Lower oil prices will be good for the consumer, will be good for some manufacturers that use petroleum as an input. Of course, we have to talk about the other headline, the coronavirus spreads. Again, let's put this into perspective. What this means for you? It means people are freaking out and selling because you see people in hazmat suits walking around. Spoke to a friend in New York today. Apparently Times Square was basically empty. Most people in the office weren't coming in. They were working remotely. They're still working, folks. I'm not shutting down business. They're still working. This is working from home. The other thing here is keep in mind that we have 550 cases in the United States. 550 cases. 550 people have it, according to the statistics. There's over 320 some million people in this country. 550. We've had 22 deaths. Again, I'm not putting one of these 22 deaths down at all. But again, we need to put things in perspective. I don't know the stats, I couldn't find it, but I know this one. I was gonna say how many people got killed falling off roofs yesterday, but I know that more people are killed on the roads than 22 people every single day in this country, as sad as that is. The other thing is, the epicenter of this, China, it's slowing. It's slowing right now, the spread in China. Italy, that's the big thing. Quarantine, what, 16 million people in northern Italy? It's precautionary. But keep in mind again, of the people that have died in Italy, 99% are 60 years or older. It's affecting an older population. Again, I'm not putting it down. Nearly half were over 80 years old. Majority of them had pre-existing health conditions. Again, I'm not putting this down at all because it's a terrible disease. But it's not going to start spreading where your children are going to start dying of coronavirus. As a matter of fact, it's not even showing up in children. There's been no symptoms. So again, let's take what the media is telling us and take that fear and put, okay, there's 550 people. Do you know how many people have died so far this year from the U.S. in the U.S. from influenza? 17,000. Over 17,000 people. 550 from this. Perspective, people. Another headline. The 10-year yield fell below 0.4% at one point. That's amazing to me. When it broke through one last week, I thought that was crazy. Hit 0.4. Now it's at 0.58. We've seen a bounce back, a major bounce back. But still, I mean, that's mind-blowing to me. So what that's telling you is the U.S. government will take your money, you can loan it to them at 10 years, for 10 years, at 0.58% now. Overnight, again, below 0.4. If you figure in inflation at 2%, you're actually losing about 1.5% a year, real return. Insane to me. Again, what does this mean for you? It means bond prices went up. So if you own any bonds, you're doing really well because as yields fall, bond prices go up. So that's very good. Mortgage rates will decrease and low interest rates will increase liquidity and borrowing down the road. Not today, not tomorrow, but for the next 12 to 18 months, this makes my outlook for the economy even stronger. Let's go back real quick to mortgage rates, though. Sunday afternoon, I'm going for a walk in my neighborhood. I saw a for sale sign with an open house. I walked in, happened to be a realtor I knew, a mortgage guy I knew. Talked to them. The house was packed, people coming in. This was a $900,000 home, so it wasn't a cheap home, but it was a lot of activity. And I talked to the mortgage guy who helped with my mortgage. I just bought a condo a few months ago, right down the road. And I said, oh, wow. And I looked at this house before. I said, now that it's fallen $100,000, it's great. How much can you get it for me for? Potentially a second home, rent the other one out. It was amazing. And he couldn't even talk to me because he was doing me a favor. He's talking, people coming in. When mortgage rates fall, it increases the affordability. Because of coronavirus, because 550 people in this country have coronavirus, are people going to stop buying houses? No. The unemployment rate's at 3.5%. Basically, we're all working. When people are working, what do? You go buy homes. You're not going to stop having a job. You're not going to stop wanting to buy a home. And now that mortgage rates are falling, last week, the mortgage applications were up 15.1%. The week before that, up 1.5. You're seeing this trend. I mean, telling you, this is, again, good for the consumer. The way we're getting there is not good. Don't get me wrong. The way we're getting there is not good. But it will ultimately be good for the consumer. And speaking of the economy really quick, prior to March, the economic numbers that came out in this country were extremely solid. You look at the jobs number, January and February, created 270,000 jobs in February. That's a monster number. Non-manufacturing ISM number, high 50s, beat expectations, monster number. Construction spending up over 1%, great number. People going to see movies. It actually keeps going up. It's amazing. So you're seeing that, you know, what the media is telling you is one thing, and what I'm telling you and what the numbers truly show another thing. The pushback you'll get on the numbers I just gave you is the fact that, okay, those are February. And yes, they're going to drop in March. They're probably going to drop in April, however long this lasts. But the great part about this is the economy was on solid footing prior to this shock. Once this shock is gone, we go back to strong economy. Again, I don't know if it's 1 month, 2 month, 3 months, 6 months, but it's there waiting for us. And that's why you don't want to be spooked out and sell this market. That's why you can't let the media or your financial advisor who's freaking out right now say, get out, because it's going to be the worst timing of your life. I'm telling you right now. The VIX, the CBOE Volatility Index, and measures fear and complacency. The higher it is, the more fear there is. It hit an intraday high today of 62.12. That means nothing to you. But what this means to you is it's the highest level since 08-09, at the end of 08, when we had obviously the financial crisis. The only other time it got this high was in 1987 on Black Monday, October 87, when the stock market fell 20%. Then it wasn't even in 2000. In the tech bubble, it didn't get this high, the fear level. The fear's only been this high twice in my lifetime, October 87 and 08-09. You know what happened both those times? They created amazing long-term buying opportunities. I mean, amazing. Again, I don't know if today's the bottom. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that. I don't know. But what I do know is that stocks are suddenly undervalued. Stocks are suddenly cheap. And if you think long-term, the last thing you're gonna do is sell your solid companies into this. It's the last thing you're going to do. And you're also going to hear a headline that I talked about already, 7% sell trigger this morning, close the market for 15 minutes. So what's that mean for you? It's going to be a great headline. The news is going to run it that stocks were halted. They're not going to tell you if they bounce back from that. I don't know if they do bounce back from that. We're down 1,600 right now. But that's going to be a headline. Just let it go. I already told you what happened, why it happened. It's supposed to keep the selling in orderly fashion. The other thing is the Fed meeting's coming out March 17th and 18th, so next week. The Fed was expected to cut it by 50 basis points. They jumped ahead and did it last week. They jumped ahead of the meeting. Again, I think I did a little note on that if anybody read it. I think they should have waited. I don't think doing that really did much. This still happened. So now the market's pricing in a 75 basis point rate cut on the meeting next week on top of this. This takes interest rates basically, you know, below 0.5% near zero. I don't know if I would do that if I were the Fed, but if they do, probably do at least 50, but probably do 75. Depends what the market does between now and then, what happens with the coronavirus between now and then. But keep an eye on that. But if they do 75, it may not, again, spark the buying that day or that week. But again, it's taking these lending costs, to borrow money down so low, it will have an effect on the economy in the next 12 to 18 to 24 months. So again, strong economy, now interest rates extremely low and going to be much lower, I imagine, after the Fed comes out next week. Couple that with the fact that the economy, as I mentioned, was strong already. We had corporations doing well already. This is you're hitting that pocket. You know, when you're flying at that big pocket, into that turbulence, this is a huge pocket. I'm not putting down what's going on right now. You know, we came very close to the bear market territory. Maybe actually even dipped into it for a second today, which means you're down 20% from the highs. I think we only hit 19. So this hurts. And the fact that it happened in several weeks hurts even more from an all-time high. But this is creating long-term opportunities. And if you're a long-term investor, if you're 5 years or more out from now, if you're a long-term investor, do not sell. If you're a long-term investor and you have cash, start getting ready to buy. These are opportunities that, again, I don't know where the low is. I never predict to be picking the low. What I try to do is find sweet spots. When I see value, when I see things like this where the VIX is so damn high, the fear is so high, it does create opportunities. We emotional human beings, we make horrible emotional decisions every day. Selling right now, it would be one of those decisions in my mind. I'm looking at my screen here. I have one stock that's green. I have one. It's a Japanese drug company of ones. You know, I mean, so it's ugly for all of us. You know, so you log in, your portfolio's all red. You're not alone. And if you think long term, think about this, folks. Do you think 5G is going to stop rolling out because of this? No. Do you think electric vehicles are going to stop taking market share in the future because of this? No. Do you think artificial intelligence and software is going to stop moving forward with technological advances we can even imagine right now because of this? No. This is creating opportunity. This is creating the fear of the media right now is creating opportunity for us. Again, if you can't handle the risk and you can't sleep at night, I'm not saying go run out and buy today. What I'm telling you is don't freak out and fall prey to what most investors will. And you know, I've seen it happen over and over. It's unfortunate. So I'm going to leave you with some ideas real quick. You know, I don't typically give out stock ideas, but you know, I'm not saying I'm buying these. I'm not saying we own these, nothing. I'm just saying these are some ideas that are popping in my head. Think big picture tech. Think some of these software companies. The software companies seem to me are the best place way to play AI, IoT, even some 5G. Think software. Some software names out there that look really great right now. Housing. I just mentioned before, these housing stocks to me are going to be great buys. Let me see. We have one in a portfolio now, and it's down big. It's down 10%. I think it's a great buying opportunity down here for people that are listening, that are subscribers. The other thing is, I'll tell you one for housing too. What about Zillow? That's the future of housing. You don't need realtors anymore. What about Redfin? It's the future of housing. Symbol Z for Zillow, RDFN for Redfin. Those are great opportunities getting pulled back. Zillow down 7.5% today. Actually, not as bad as I thought it would be, above the 200-day moving average. Redfin's down 10%, still above the 200-day moving average. These are stocks that were breaking out or very close to all-time highs just a couple weeks ago and are now getting beaten up for whatever reason. Interest rates are going down. What does it affect them at all? If anything, people look to buy homes online if they're afraid to go out and be in contact with people. I mean, this is amazing. One other idea, I don't own the stock. I don't know if I ever have. I may have at one point. But Twitter. Twitter came out today and they got $1 billion from an investment company. And they said they're going to keep Jack Dorsey on. I think Jack Dorsey is a bit of a nut, but I like him. And I want him to keep running Twitter. And what is anything going on right now? Low oil prices, bond prices going up, and coronavirus. How does that affect Twitter? If anything, it's all good because it takes more people to this crazy social media platform. I'm telling you, last night it was insane. More people are going on if you're staying inside, you're on social media. Why would this hurt this at all? Twitter has nothing to do with it. Well, now that I say that, I said this in a meeting about an hour and a half ago, and Twitter is down a few percentage points. Now it's actually up 3.6%. So maybe people are catching on to what I'm saying. That's unbelievable to me. That's unbelievable how it's bouncing back. But this makes sense. Facebook, same way. Facebook's down 5% today. I saw a guy come out today, an analyst on Apple. Apple was down about 10%. Now it's down 5%. Fiscal 2021, a year and a half from now, 2 years from now, Apple most likely is going to sell the most iPhones ever since 2005. That's going to be great for this company. I mean, it's 2015. Since 2015. That is great for this company. But could Apple fall to 220, 210 per share from 275 right now before it goes back to 500 or it goes to 500? It could. I don't know, but use these weaknesses as opportunity to buy. There are opportunities out there right now. Don't forget, if you like this, and if you're still listening, I hope you like it, click the like button, click the subscribe button, click the notification button, because the way the market is right now, you need to be notified. So we'll notify you when new videos come out. As a subscriber, you'll know right away. This is something that I'm going to stay on top of it for you. So as more, market changes, I'm actually to tell you that I'm okay with the whole coronavirus. I'm jumping on a train on Wednesday morning, going to New York. I'll be in New York City for about a week doing business. And I'll be there. And even if I don't have a good camera, I will do an update for you. I'll make sure I get the iPhone set up and we will have an update as things continue to move along. But please, any comments, any questions, put them below because I want to tackle your comments as well in the next video to make sure that I'm calming everything down. If you have questions or anything that I brought up is confusing. But again, please just ignore the media, ignore the fear, put your emotions aside and kind of just walk away. There's some days you turn the computer off, walk away, spend time with your loved ones, be grateful for what you have, whether it be money, health, a sunny day, whatever it might be. But again, we'll be back. We're covering for you here. This is Moneyline, and I'm Matt McCall.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.